Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadeekarup, guten tag, ciao, wee viva, cat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection, prison, kilitary, industrial, core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, food-borne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, your little two-hour excursion into sanity for the week. syndicated sanity from the Genesis Communications Network. And things are really bad. If I'm the sane one, things are really bad. But it does seem like it is a world gone mad. Nothing seems to be right, right? I mean, everything, you know, up is down, you know, left is right, you know, heroes are villains, and villains are heroes, and war is peace. You know, people who wage war get Nobel Peace Prizes. You know, I don't know, everything with three letters is scary and mad, and, you know, like I said, NSA, NRA, GMO, KFC, MFA, HSUS. Oh, I couldn't count to four there. Well, I think that's the problem. Most people in this country can't count to four because we have simply gone mad. We're on a diet of madness, of insanity, right? I mean, you look around. The governor of California is for fracking. The Democratic environmental governor supports fracking, huh? Isn't that amazing? Everything seems to be, nobody thinks anybody's thinking right. Animal advocates get their marching orders from pig farmers. Environmentalists get their marching orders from environmentally abusive meat eaters, you know, like the Bill McKibbins of the world. And, we come up with, with nukes and wars and it's just so crazy. Happy meat? Right, happy meat, right? Only the cows seem to know how happy, and the cows are mad, I must say. How now, mad cow? Well, I don't know. We love and adore cows, right? It's summer, and we're going to be driving down those country roads, and it's, moo, mommy, look, the cow, I love the cow. Yes, yeah, so then you'll pull off at the next exit, and you'll go buy that happy meal. All right, with no happiness except for the profiteers. And if we can believe that's a happy meal, well, then we can certainly believe in happy meat, dairy, fish, and eggs when we're told that by those who are supposed to protect animals, like the Humane Society of the United States. So how now, mad cow? Well, this diet of dementia, once again, is showing a case of confirmed variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, variant CJD, a case in Texas. A human has died from mad cow disease. That's how mad the cows are. They've had enough. They've had enough. And, mad cow disease, it's kind of like don't ask, don't tell. It's like don't look, don't find. And if you realize that if one eats an infected cow, this brain-wasting disease, BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, One bite the size of a peppercorn can be fatal. And it's a dormant disease. So if you take the kids out today for hamburgers, one bite of that, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, little Johnny may come down with dementia. It is a 100% fatal disease. This is a diet of dementia. What parent today, I mean, it's mad parent disease to buy a hamburger for your child in the age of mad cow disease. So let us look at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As I said, it confirmed a case of mad cow disease and a death in Texas. It says laboratory tests have confirmed diagnosis of variant C, JD, a fatal brain disorder. Is it worth getting, a corpse burger with the risk of a fatal brain disorder? Always fatal, by the way. No cure. In a patient who recently died in Texas, the confirmation was made when laboratory results from an autopsy of the patient's brain tested positive for variant CJD. First described in 1996 in the United Kingdom, variant CJD is a rare degenerative fatal brain disorder in humans. It is believed to be caused by consumption of products from cows with the disease bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE, or mad cow disease. Where did I hear that before? Oh, 15 seconds ago from me. Okay. Worldwide, more than 220 variant CJD patients have been reported, with the majority of them in the UK, 177 cases, and France, 27 cases. We're not looking for it here, though, so you know what? Alzheimer's, huh? This case is the fourth to be reported in the United States. In each of the three previous cases, infection likely occurred outside the United States, including the United Kingdom, two cases, and Saudi Arabia, one case. The history of this fourth patient including extensive travel to Europe and the Middle East supports the likelihood that infection occurred outside the United States. Oh, don't you feel better now with our wonderful inspection program here, which there is none. Let's see. It says a classic form of CJD, which is okay. Well, all right. So this was that was a link from the report from CNN, which says mad cow disease has caused the fourth death in the United States. Health officials say. Okay. So I thought it might be interesting here because this is getting reported in the lamestream media, which is basically owned by the meat industry. So very interesting thing to see that it does get coverage here. Mad cow disease. Fast facts, okay, from CNN. So let's go to, let's work chronologically in reverse here for a moment. And let's see where it says, May 2nd, 2012, update. The California Department of Food and Agriculture identifies the two offspring born to the positive cow in the last 2 years. One was stillborn. The other was sampled for BSE. The test results were negative. Prior to that, it said the USDA confirms the fourth case of BSE found in a dairy cow from Central California. This was dated April 24th, 2012. And remember, we live under don't test, don't find regulations. The announcement maintains that the cow was never presented for slaughter for human consumption and poses no risk. Okay, you know, you always get the spin. Who wants to panic the public about eating, you know, dead cow cadavers. March 28th, 2009, mad cow research pathologist Antonio Ruiz via Escusa of Spain dies from mad cow disease. March 14, 2009, U.S. government permanently bans the slaughter of cows too sick or weak to stand on their own, seeking to further minimize the contraction of mad cow disease. I feel safe now. The U.S. government permanently banned the slaughter of cows too sick or weak to stand on their own. I'm sure that every ranch around the country who wants to profit abides by that rule. Let's see, March 10th, 2009, an anti-malaria drug known as quinacrine, which had reportedly shown promise against mad cow disease, is found to have no effect on the disease, according to a British medical study. So there is no cure. There is no treatment. It's 100% fatal. September 13th, 2008, an Alabama research study shows that mad cow disease can sometimes be caused by genetic mutations. Let's see. Yep, so on and on it goes. Let's see. March 13, 2006, the third American case is confirmed after an Alabama cow tests positive. So we've seen cows testing positive in Alabama and California. Of course, we always say that these people were traveling, you know, so they were overseas. They were in Saudi Arabia, huh? Don't look, don't find. Okay. Coming up on today's program, we'll have Tim Gorski, director of Rattle the Cages Productions, has an event coming up in San Diego. And we will also be discussing on the program today the World Vegan Summit and Expo, scheduled for March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015, which will be taking place at the Marina del Rey Marriott. Registration will be opening up next Saturday. This coming Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. It'll be on the website worldvegansummit.com, which will be updated and ready to take registration at that time this coming Saturday. And coming up, I'll discuss with you the some of the activities, some of the speakers who will be there. And this is a certified Humane Society of the United States free event. Well, except to mock meat, or to mock the mock meatheads of that butcher front group. We'll talk more about the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up. The need to have such an event when I see something as ridiculous as what Mercy for Animals sent out this week. Oh, please. Okay, and later, Animal Rights Commentary with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We've been broadcasting now for 13 years, as heard on the Air America Radio Network and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations. We're now nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. We're live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. And you can also click listen live at goveganradio.com at that time, or wait for the archive to appear there magically, permanently, forever. I don't think I want to talk about Mercy for Animals now. I don't want to go mad again. I don't want to get really mad, blood boiling mad, because Mercy for Animals has this change.org petition to tell Butt Hairball Turkey Company, Butt Hairball, to stop torturing turkeys. I don't think Mercy for Animals understands that that is business as usual. If one produces turkeys to be eaten, they will be tortured and murdered. You cannot ask them to stop. You can ask people to go vegan and stop buying butt hairball turkeys, but that's not in the change.org petition. And I don't even know. All right, maybe we'll get into that later, but I mean, what could you be asking Butt Hairball to do? I mean, and in fact, Mercy for Animals is complaining about Butt Hairball doing exactly what Mercy for Animals was endorsing to happen to chickens, enriched cages, males being ground alive. That was okay when it was chickens and the egg bill. Okay, I'm not mad. Take a deep breath. And let's have a World Vegan Summit and Expo where we gather to promote grassroots vegan activism and, a partial list of speakers, and again, I will be putting out updates this week on Twitter, at Go Vegan Radio, on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and updating the speaker list and the activities and all, but, I mean, it's pretty phenomenal already, and registration will open next Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time at worldvegansummit.com, and we have Professor Gary Francione presenting with Anna Charlton, and let me see, relatively alphabetized here in my thinking. Sue Coe will be speaking. She will have her art exhibit there. Remember Professor Sherry Kolb on the program a few weeks ago with Mind If I Order the Cheeseburger, and her husband and professor at Columbia University, Michael Dorff, Mary Finelli with Fish Feel, Wayne Shun will be there with Direct Action Everywhere and the campaign against the Happy Meat at Chipotle restaurants. We will have Dr. Michael Clapper, and we will have the International Vegan Association, Keith McHenry, founder of Food Not Bombs, Dr. Milton Mills, Dr. Richard Openlander. We have Vaidya Priyanka from over 700-year lineage of Ayurvedic women healers in India, who tells us that dairy is filth. We have Dr. Antenna Roba. We have Yeb Sanyo, the chief UN climate negotiator for the Philippines, will be there. And Anuj Shah from World Vegan Radio. Peace Mom Cindy Sheehan will be there. Byron and Janice Smith, who are veganic farmers. So get this. We're going to try to include as much veganic food. That's a step beyond organic. You know, organic agriculture still involves animal products in the growing process. And we will be using as much as possible veganic food. So you may be the first on your block to say, you had a veganic salad. So we'll have the veganic farmers there. We have Mark Sutton from the who did the book Heart Healthy Pizza. He'll be doing a food demonstration. Professor Gary Steiner of Bucknell University. And then Arlo Taves, owner of Viva La Vegan Grocery, Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Mike Weinberg will be there to support your local vegan restaurant, Sarah K. Woodcock, Jingwu Zhang, Miyoko Shinner. We'll have music from Vegan Boss. Ran out of time to talk about this, huh? And again, we'll be talking more about the World Vegan Summit and Expo, worldvegansummit.com. Registration starts Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Thank you.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com and on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And I will be posting updates during the week as to the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We're trying to reach Tim Gorski, director of Rattle the Cages Productions. He's in Taiwan. So as usual, whenever we get global and international, we have to play around with the phone a little bit. Okay, so what I would like to do is continue our discussion here for a moment of the World Vegan Summit and Expo. I was just emailing Tim in Taiwan, giving him, confirming the studio number for him to call. So isn't that amazing how we can text and email and everything is instant communications? Tim, if you're listening, call now, okay? Great. So I was mentioning before how upset I am that there is this change.org petition sent out on behalf of Mercy for Animals, which in it calls itself a charity because apparently it wants to raise funds, perhaps to pay for the limousine ride to the so-called animal rights conference that will be happening in Los Angeles in July. And Mercy for Animals has, I think, five or six speaking engagements there. So I don't believe it'll be talking about why it supported the egg bill and enriched cages for chickens. Won't be promoting veganism much, as you can see. Its concern is tell butthairball turkey to stop torturing turkeys, claiming that it grinds up male baby turkeys, pretty much right when they're born, which is what happens in the chicken industry. But there were no complaints about that when Mercy for Animals was supporting the egg bill. And and what's the solution going to be? I guess Mercy for Animals West Hollywood office will now become a permanent sanctuary for all male turkeys in the future. So Nathan and Matt, there you go. There's your new sanctuary. On it will go the thousands and millions of birds. What's the solution? There is no solution other than to go vegan. And we are having our Vegan Summit and Expo March 20, 21, and 22 of 2015. And so, since registration is going to be open this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time at worldvegansummit.com, we might suggest that you might want to save the money. I know Professor Gary Francione is saying boycott that conference and suggesting that, you might want to put your hard-earned dollars toward coming to the Vegan Summit and Expo in March at the Marina del Rey Marriott. And so just to give you an idea, just as we discussed this a little before we talked to Tim Gorski, so just so you have an idea of what you may be looking at this coming Saturday morning to register, there will be a top level, an all-inclusive, all-access top level. It'll be somewhere around $350, which, of course, will include admission to the expo. It's also admission to all speaker sessions, also the Friday night reception, Saturday breakfast and lunch included, and the special dinner show, Soul Food for Thought, Saturday evening, featuring Dr. Milton Mills and Dr. Antenna Roba. Dr. Roba from Ethiopia will have a big Ethiopian feast at Soul Food for Thought with music, including rapper Vegan Boss at that. And then that top level at around $350 again will include breakfast and lunch on Sunday, and our Cesar Chavez birthday celebration on Sunday. And the meals, by the way, will be feasts. You're going to be amazed. And this is the way we're doing it, because in order to get the venue, I had to guarantee that we'll be buying a certain amount of food and beverage. And, you know, the way I care about it, making this really vegan, we're going to be introducing veganic produce and foods as much as possible. And as I said, yes, you could be the first on your block to say, I ate a veganic salad. So that's worth the price alone right there, right? And so this is a pretty much food-inclusive situation that we're doing. I spoke to other hotels, and they said, oh, guarantee us $78,000 worth of room rentals. And I was like, yeah, right? There will be a link, a special hotel rate, a link that'll be at the worldvegansummit.com website, and I'll send it around, a special room rate. It's $195 per night at the hotel, single or double occupancy. This hotel is just a few blocks away from Venice Beach. There's a beach right across the street. We'll be having the expo and this beautiful rooftop ballroom. So, then there will be... and there will be speaker sessions during meals, during lunches. And the next level also will include the expo, all speaker sessions, the Friday night reception, Saturday and Sunday breakfast and lunch. So that's everything basically except the Saturday night dinner show, Soul Food for Thought. That'll be at around $275. And we'll have a spillover auditorium. If we hit capacity in the California ballroom, that capacity is $350, then we can open up a closed circuit auditorium for another 120 people to see what's going on there. And of course, that'll mean access to the expo also. That registration will probably run around $140. And then, you know, so this is all covering the 3 days there. We are going to have exhibitors and vendor tables available. I don't know if that'll be ready to be available as of this coming Saturday, but registration will be. We can basically have, and there'll be a daily rate, and if we get all the others, you know, maxed out, maybe we can make it really affordable for the public to have, you know, access to what we're doing here. You can have 800 to 1,000 people roaming around the hotel at any given moment, so it's really going to be a blast. As I said, registration will open Saturday, and I want to thank everyone for support who helped us to make our deposit. As I mentioned initially, this is a grassroots effort. We had to get $7,500 to put down on the Marina Del Rey Marriott. We're in Southern California near LAX and Santa Monica, Viva La Vegan Grocery, within a couple of miles there. Thanks for support to everyone, everybody who donated from $5, $100, $150. And then we had also support from Greenlight Meals, Vegetarian House Restaurant in San Jose, Nature's Flavors, who give us really thousands of vegan products from Select Tea, S-E-E-L-E-C-T, Select Tea. So many baking needs and now gluten-free, sugar-free baking mixes, Bertie and Bill Sodas, and also Sentient Lifestyle. Stepped up to the plate. You can go to sentientlifestyle.com. Stepped up to the plate to get things going. So we are doing it. Registration opening this Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time at worldvegansummit.com. Well, Tim Gorski, we reached you in Taiwan, and it's great to have you on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden again, the director of Rattle Cages Productions. How are you doing today?
Hey, it's good to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
Yes.
And, I want to go to the World Summit.
Come on out from Taiwan. People are coming from all over the world. It's the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And, you know, we just have the small goal of really saving the world. You know, when it comes down to it, it's what saves the world from climate change. It's what saves all our brothers and sisters, earthlings, habitat, and saving the billions, the trillions who are taken from the oceans. I mean, wow. So come on out. We hope to see you there. You can come come over from Taiwan, or you're going to be walking through Kenya. But first, before we get into what you're doing, you were on the show a long time ago. It seems like many years ago. Weren't we talking about Lolita in the Miami aquarium?
Aquarium.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I was one of your earliest guests. I think that must have been about 11 or 12 years ago.
Well, there you have it. We just hit 13 years as of January. So, right, we're going back a long way there. And the plight of Lolita. There's no happy ending yet, though, right?
No, it's still going on. She's still pining away in that tank. And I had made that film really hoping that it would. That it would ignite, a revolution for these orcas in captivity, and even the pinnipeds in captivity and the dolphins in captivity, and it did spark something, but it lost a little bit of momentum for a while there, and then of course Tillicum killed again, which was inevitable, and then Blackfish, the film, was born, and now it seems that the campaign has been reignited, and in fact, I just saw a fabulous PETA commercial about SeaWorld just yesterday. I don't know if you saw it yet. With I think his name is Jason Biggs from American Pie.
No,
really good spot. It's quite good. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, Yeah, what the name of the film regarding Lolita so long ago was?
It's called Lolita, Slave to Entertainment. And, it's still available. You can watch it on YouTube. You can just go to YouTube and type in Lolita, Slave to Entertainment. Or if people want to buy it, they can go on Amazon and do a search for the same name, and it'll come right up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the producer Tim Zimmerman of Blackfish has gone vegan. So there's that awakening. Whoa, we have to take a break. Tim Gorski, how do you like that?
Okay.
So we'll take a break. We'll continue with Tim Gorski talking about past projects, current projects, future projects on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. And again, I will be posting information this week regarding the World Vegan Summit and Expo. The website is worldvegansummit.com. It needs to be updated, yes, and it will be by Saturday when registration opens, 9 a.m. And I think I'll probably post some of the menus. You are going to be amazed because registration, for the most part, is meal inclusive. So, yes, you're going to have to hang out with, all the activists and advocates who want to create a vegan world. We're going to eat together, live together, hang out for a few days. And then go out and create that vegan world. It becomes. It's the key to everything. Look at the oceans. We were talking about Lolita and orcas, and my guest today, Tim Gorski from Rattle Cage Productions. We last spoke to him, 11, 12 years ago on this program with his movie Lolita, Slave to Entertainment, and there's Lolita still here so many years later, sadly, in that bathtub, and and then we look at the devastation of the oceans related to meat consumption, billions of trillions of aquatic creatures taken to be eaten, and the environment for the orcas destroyed. Then I start posting vegan things on the Blackfish page, and then people say, oh, this is a captivity site. Go away with your vegan stuff. And it's like, well, you want to hear about captivity. So Tim, that's past 11, 12 years ago. Lolita, slave to entertainment, and any chance of her ever being released? Any word about anything? Any progress at all, or is she doomed forever?
I mean, I'd like to believe that she can get out. I think she's still healthy enough, and it's all about. But the problem is, you know, she's chattel. She's property, and the Seaquarium is not permitted. They're not even considering. They've never considered selling her to any of the activists or ever letting her go in any way, shape, or form. Now, if there is, I understand, and I haven't been following it as closely. I've been so focused on elephant issues lately, but I understand that there are a couple organizations in the States working on getting a new law passed that would protect the, I guess it's under the, maybe, you know, under the Endangered Species Act, that would protect orcas from the Puget Sound area from captivity. And I don't know if she would be, fit in that retroactively or not, or how that would work. But I guess it would essentially make it illegal for her to be in that tank, which it should be, because the tank is, you know, it's pathetic. It's completely substandard anyway. Mm-hmm. Not that there even should be a standard for tanks for orcas in captivity. But, I believe she's healthy enough, and there are people quite capable in Puget Sound who have been preparing for her inevitable retirement and release. You know, Ken Balcom and Howard Garrett have been working in the area with her family pod for decades, and they know her immediate family. They know the waters that they swim in. They have a very safe, secure sea pen area where they could essentially gradually reintroduce her, or at the very least retire her to that sea pen where she can at least experience the real sea again and hear her family and most likely make contact when they come close. And I think she would probably adjust fairly quickly. I mean, I've seen animals. You know, I do a lot of rescue work, disaster rescue work as well. I'm a first responder. I've worked on, you know, Hurricane Katrina and the floods in Thailand and Bangkok. And I've seen, you know, pets revert to their wild instincts within a matter of weeks, less than weeks. When, you know, dogs turn back into, you know, these are like house pets, these golden retrievers, and they turn back into pack animals almost overnight. So I believe
time for another break, Tim Gorski. We'll have some time to talk about. we'll bring you up to today and an event coming up in San Diego in a few days. Continue talking with Tim Gorski on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, Twitter at goveganradio. Greetings once again. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, we have expanded to 2 hours since joining the Genesis Communications Network for syndication. Back 11, 12 years ago when Tim Gorski was last on the program, we were an hour show, and who would have imagined that we would be on the air this long? It's kind of a miracle, but we do get our support at times. We have Greenlight Meals, for example, whom you'll meet at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. By the way, registration opens this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time, at worldvegansummit.com. And when you attend the summit, you'll say hi to the people at Greenlight Meals who really make it easy for you to go vegan wherever you are in the USA. All you have to do is answer the door. Great meals delivered directly to home or office. The website is greenlitemeals.com. You care about the animals, the environment, better health, and there's just an amazing menu. Check out the menu. It's really from breakfast, lunch, dinner, everything from tofu scramble to Cinnabon oatmeal, you know, falafel, and it's great. Snacks for the kids, and even smoothies, and weight loss program with Melissa Bray, who was a guest on this show throughout the month of January. So check it out. Go to greenlitemeals.com, greenlitemeals.com. And so there's no excuse to go vegan. No, there's no vegan restaurant near me in this town. Yeah. Well, answer your door, greenlitemeals.com. So we're talking again to Tim Gorski. He's the director of Rattle Cages Productions. When he was on the show so many years ago, we were talking about Lolita, Slave to Entertainment. And when we were talking a little earlier, Tim, you said lately you've been interested in elephants, and your most recent film was How I Became an Elephant. So tell us about that and where we are today. And you have an event coming up in San Diego on the 13th.
That's true, yes. Yeah, I guess it was about 2004, 2005, I kind of fell into the elephant campaigning accidentally while I was visiting Southeast Asia, and ended up spending a lot of time working in Southeast Asia, doing quite a bit of investigations and research and surveys on elephant populations, and spending time along the borders with actual elephant traffickers who were trafficking live elephants from Burma to Thailand for the entertainment industry, more so than the ivory industry. And we ended up making this wonderful film with a young elephant activist from Los Angeles, a 13-year-old girl named Juliette West. We produced the film with Georgia Fox from CSI Las Vegas, and Alec Peterson and David Rubin, all these folks got involved, and they said, we want to try and help the Asian elephants. And Juliette raised a whole bunch of money, and she flew herself over to Thailand to get involved in this whole this booming elephant trekking industry and elephant performing industry that was growing exponentially in Thailand, and still is, and now it's being exported into Cambodia and Vietnam and other places. But since we made that film, which was released in 2009, elephants street begging in Thailand, in the cities, in Chiang Mai and in Bangkok, has been outlawed. And when I say street begging, I mean they actually walk elephants around in the streets for tourists, you know, photo ops and things like that, and they charge them money to feed the elephant. That's since been outlawed, and I think that's partially due to our film and the popularity of our film in Thailand. We actually have more than 17,000 Facebook fans in Thailand alone for that film, which is great. So I worked quite a while on that. You know, I spent about 4 years in Southeast Asia working on those issues, and then I just kind of migrated right into the African elephant issues, because we have a massacre of epic proportions going on right now in Africa to supply the demand for ivory around the world, primarily China, Thailand, Hong Kong, and the United States, actually. There was a guy in Philadelphia, a guy named Victor Gordon, was just sentenced to 30 months in prison for dealing in his art shop in Philadelphia, dealing in $800,000 worth of illegal ivory. So even in the U.S., there's still a demand for ivory. But it's primarily the demand in China, and that's where I'm focusing now with the new project. There's been a few, you know, really powerful ivory documentaries came out recently on PBS and National Geographic, and they're very hard-hitting and very well done, but they're not reaching the Chinese audience, and they're the people who need to see it. They're not getting the education in China, and I've been spending a lot of time in Beijing and Shanghai and Chengdu, And the people on these programs are not being broadcast in China. They can't get them through the censors. So what we're doing is we're partnering with a Chinese production company called Tudou. Tudou is the equivalent of YouTube. They're the Chinese YouTube. So we're working with Tudou to produce a film about the ivory trade with the Chinese characters and African characters coming together in Africa to really get down to the grit of what is going on and bring the information back to China and share it with China. We're going to have a national release in China. We already have guaranteed distribution on this one in China, which is fabulous. So this is really, it's kind of groundbreaking. No one's ever really tried to make a documentary with China before and partnering with them. And they're very excited about it, the company we're working with.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. You're saying the other documentaries don't get seen in China. But so, I mean, what's different about your approach then that will allow it to be seen? I mean, won't it be self-critical? Or, I mean, what's...
We're going to engage China. We are not going to flat out call them the villains that they are, because you know what? You know, America was the largest consumer of ivory for a very long time in the 1800s and early 1900s, and now China is just doing what we were doing in the States. But, you know, they're doing it now, they're just doing it a lot more efficiently and a lot faster. So we're engaging China. We're getting them involved. We're not pointing the finger at them. We're giving them the opportunity to be the heroes. And what we're doing is we're working with Jane Goodall's Roots and Shoots. We're working with a couple of other organizations in Africa and this company in China, Tudou, to create, we're bringing the Chinese youth and giving them an opportunity to come to Africa and be heroes in the movement for ivory and bring this story back. And the other reason that we will not be censored, which is beautiful, is Tudou, is they're an online broadcaster. It's video on demand. This is like YouTube. So we're going to broadcast. We're going to have a national premiere on Tudou online, and they don't have the same censorship that the broadcasters have. And they can also guarantee us longevity, which is really nice. The film will stay online. And they have a huge marketing campaign that they've already started for the film, and we haven't even begun production yet. So this is actually quite exciting.
Hmm. And what message will the film have? Is it a message of compassion? Like, look, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes? Or, I mean, what you know, this poaching is going on? Like, what how can it... Yeah.
The basic message is ivory ain't cool. It's just not cool. You know, you'd be surprised how many folks in China, and these are educated people in China, believe that the tusks fall out naturally or the elephants die naturally and they harvest the elephants. They're just not getting a proper education.
It's like like people don't know who their hamburger was, right? So
Exactly. So we're going to bring them to Africa. Rather than trying to bring the story to China, we're going to bring China to Africa, to where it's happening. And we'll be working with the Kenya Wildlife Service, Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, where we'll be working with the orphans. They have a wonderful sanctuary in Tsavo National Park, where they rescue orphaned elephants from the ivory trade, from the poaching, basically, because it's getting out of hand. It's in epic proportions. I mean, it's nothing compared to the 98,000 chickens that died during the last commercial break that we just had globally. But we're talking about we're losing 25,000 to 35,000 elephants a year in Africa, and there's less than 400,000 left. So if you do the math, we're talking about the world's largest walking vegans being extinct within 10 or 15 years.
Oh, we have to protect our fellow vegans.
You know, I mean, in my mind, that's just not cool. I mean, you know, 26 million years ago, we had 350 different species of elephants. Now we have two. In 1979, we had 1.2 million elephants in Africa alone. Now we've got like 400,000. And the rate of poaching and how it's escalated. I mean, this has become a war. I mean, poachers are dying, rangers are dying, elephants are dying at, you know, an elephant every 15 minutes or so. Kenya Wildlife Service lost, I think, 6 rangers this year already to, you know, poachers. To these guys are fighting a war, and they're using anything they can to kill the elephants. They use helicopters now and AK-47s. They use cyanide and poison the lakes. And it's just, it's gotten really out of control. It hasn't been this bad since before the ban on ivory, the 1989 ban on ivory that was, it was actually effectual, that worked. And then, but then they had that big one-off sale back in 2008 that screwed everything up when they sold, when CITES approved 108 tons of ivory to sell to China, which just reignited the whole demand in China. And now the demand in China, it's because the middle class has grown so rapidly in China and their affluent population. And ivory is now almost worth its weight in gold. Actually, rhino horn is worth more than its weight in gold. But so it's an investment, you know?
Hmm. Right. Losing one's life, a majestic life, for to become a trinket. But again, there we are. Everybody's considering the animals. Yeah, like you say, chattel, property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it to me, one of the worst things about it to me is one of the biggest products they're selling, they're making out of ivory. It's not even art. They're making chopsticks. And chopsticks that they use to eat pork.
Ah, ridiculous. Tim, we'll have a few more minutes after this break, and we should talk about the San Diego event coming up on the 13th. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Remember, I'll be posting more information this week about the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Registration to open this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time at worldvegansummit.com. And thanks to all the people who donated to get this rolling. Now we have to register to, you know, really finance the whole thing. And see, it's really going to be cool with all the meals included, and thanks to Vegetarian House for getting things started with a donation in the beginning there. Vegetarian House Restaurant in San Jose, 520 East Santa Clara Street. Go to vegetarianhouse.us, and if you have a need for catering in the Bay Area, think Vegetarian House. Really make your business event or your wedding very special. Okay. Also, thanks to Nature's Flavors, who give us select tea and organic coffees and select gluten-free, sugar-free baking mixes and Birdie and Bill soda and Sentient Lifestyle. .com, all helping things get rolling on the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Have just a few more minutes left with Tim Gorski, director of Rattle the Cages Productions. You know, I'm earlier in the program talked about, oh, there's another case of mad cow disease. It's a world gone mad. And I'm trying to maintain my sanity here. And, you know, the thought of elephants being killed for ivory to make chopsticks to eat pork drives me crazy. It makes me mad, Tim, I have to tell you.
Me too. Yeah. That's why I'm here. Yeah. I have to correct myself real quick. I think I said that How I Became an Elephant was released in 2009, and it was actually released in 2011. And if people want to see it, they can go to howibecameanelephant.com, and there's many different ways to view it or download it or stream it on iTunes and Google Play and whatever. And we are having an event in San Diego, like you mentioned, a fundraising event where we'll be screening How I Became an Elephant, and that event will be this Friday, the 13th, and it's a fundraiser to help raise funds for our current film project, which I will actually, unfortunately, miss the event because I will be in the bush in Kenya working with the rangers. But my partners, my executive director and my co-director and producers are throwing this lovely event at Alexander Salazar's Fine Art in San Diego And if people want to get tickets, they can go on to Facebook, How I Became an Elephant, or they could just call my executive director, Jane, at 301-219-7615. It's going to be a really cool event. I really wish I could go. There's going to be 6 live bands, a lot of vegan food, it's, you know, socializing, and then they're going to show the film, How I Became an Elephant. And then when you're done crying at the end of the film, we're going to have some nice, cool circ performances, human circ performances, not animals, of course, fire eaters and jugglers and things. And then my co-director will come on and do a presentation about the elephants in captivity. And we'll segue right into showing the sneak peek of our new film that we're working on right now between our partnership with Africa and China to basically just stop the nonsense that's happening in both Africa and China. And then there'll be a DJ after that and a light show and tons of fun. It's going to be 6 p.m. to midnight, like I said, at Alexander Salazar's in San Diego. We're going to be auctioning off some really cool stuff. We have some great elephant prints that we took at the Elephant Sanctuary in Thailand. And we're looking for, you know, executive producers and producers and, you know, people that can't come to the event and they want to help us produce the film. They can just come to rattlethecage.org and donate, and we will gladly exchange an IMDb producer or co-producer or executive producer credit, depending on how much people are interested in pitching in. So we have ways for everyone to get involved.
Right. That's almost like getting a SAG card or something if you have a line.
I was an
extra. They let me do a line in rehearsal all the time, but once it came to the film, the line was cut out, and so there went my movie career, and I had to stay in radio, which, you know.
Yep. Oh, I have to mention that the food is sponsored by Cafe Cabaret. I hear it's great Lebanese food. I haven't eaten there, but they're supposed to be bringing some really good veg food. And but there's only 400 tickets available, so people have to act fast if they want to go.
Okay, and the website again, the best website is?
Just to donate, rattlethecage.org. But if they want to find the event, go to Facebook/ How I Became an Elephant, and they'll see the event. Or they could call Jane.
Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. And again, I will be updating and posting information regarding the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Registration to open this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time at WorldVeganSummit.com. Very excited about this, and people will be introduced to theory from Professor Gary Francione, who is on this program every week with his animal rights commentary. In fact, here he is now. Professor Francione, how are you today?
I am very well, Bob. How are you?
Doing fine.
I understand that the registration will start a week from yesterday.
It'll be next Saturday. Yes, a week from yesterday. So this coming Saturday, my web person tells me he'll get all the zeros and ones together to make it happen. And people will be able to register at World Vegan Summit.
Because I'm getting flooded with, you said it was going to be this past week, Bob. I don't want to give you a hard time, but you said it was going to be this past week.
I know. And now I have all these
disappointed people. And everybody's very anxious because, you know, they're sort of looking at this like, you know, it's like Pink Floyd concert tickets. Sell out.
They're lining up around the block. They're sleeping outside the arena.
what's the capacity? Do you know what the capacity is for this event?
So the way it looks is that, okay, so there'll be a level that's all inclusive with meals and all, you know, so all, and the speakers and all of that will be taking place in the, and I switched ballrooms, you know, we talked about this. I'm using the bigger ballroom now for speakers. So we have a capacity in that room for 350. So if we're able to reach that capacity, then I have another room for another 120 where we're kind of, you know, showing closed circuit what's happening next door and doing the expo. There's the capacity for about 800 to 1,000 people roaming around the hotel at any given time. We have food demos, the expo, the speakers, and the registrations, which tend to be meal inclusive because that's how we're paying for the hotel. So I'm ordering tens of thousands of dollars worth of vegan food, even getting veganic food, you know, a step beyond organic and amazing menus. I'm getting new cutting boards and knives and you know, pans so that nothing ever touched an animal ingredient, you know, and it's going to be somewhat spectacular, and we'll all be hanging out together doing meals. We'll have speaker presentations during the lunches, and the meals are going to be feasts, and, you know, that's where we stand. And, we, you know, this is the first time. Maybe next year we do need an arena, you know, but we have the beautiful Marina Del Rey Marriott Hotel with the expo taking place upstairs, rooftop, you know, great view. And you know, a lot of exciting things happening, and a lot of great presentations. So,
well, it sounds terrific, and I think that people are very eager to look. I mean, we haven't had an animal rights conference for I don't know, you know, 20 some odd years. I mean, it's been a long time since we had a couple at Rutgers in the early 1990s. We had animal rights conferences. And they were all vegan, and we talked about vegan theory and about why veganism was important and things like that. But that was, we did one in 1991, I think, and one in 1992. But it's been a long time, and everything since then has really been pretty welfareist. You know, Bob, I got an email. I don't know, you know, I guess I'm on this list from the Global Animal Partnership. Did you get the email on, I guess it was Friday? No, Thursday. Did you get the email on Thursday from them?
No, I think they would probably not send me.
Well,
no,
I
didn't.
I mean, I'm sure that they're not thrilled about my getting them either.
Now that they know you're on the list, you'll be purged from that list now.
Thousands and thousands of people. But I get this email. Honest to God, at first I sort of looked at it. You know, when you get these things, you have to sort of, like, you read them, and then you sort of take a breath, and then you say, no, I didn't just read that, and then you
know,
go back.
You know, I felt that way. I think I forwarded it to you because Mercy for Animals is saying, Butterball, tell Butterball to stop torturing turkeys.
Yes, right. And they were in favor of the egg bill, weren't they?
Right. So they're complaining about conditions that turkeys have to endure that they supported for chickens, you know?
Well, and, you know, but it's not the same thing, Bob. Turkeys and chickens, they're different. But I get this email on Thursday from Global Animal Partnership. Now, the Global Animal Partnership is an organization of industry people and animal advocates, or so-called animal advocates, and what they do is they develop this five-step rating program, which is used by stores like Whole Foods and Roots, and you know, the Happy Meat. It's the five-step Happy Meat program. This is the program that was originally applauded by Peter Singer in 2005, the predecessor of this program. When Peter Singer sent an open public letter to CEO John Mackey of Whole Foods, signed by HSUS, PETA, Farm Sanctuary, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing, Vegan Outreach, Animal People, and a number of other others, and basically applauding, expressing appreciation and support for the pioneering, and appreciation and support and pioneering are words that were used, actual words that were used, praising the program. And the Global Animal Partnership grew out of that. Now you have this entity that develops this five-step Happy Meat Rating Program. And on the board of directors, in addition to John Mackey, we have Wayne Pacell of the Humane Society of the United States on the board of directors of this. And Mayan Park is the executive director, and she was the president of Compassion Over Killing. So I get this email, and it actually says, I'm looking at it right now, I'm reading it to you. It says, fire up the summer grill. Summer is right around the corner. For the first barbecue of the season, we invite you to try a one-of-a-kind Danish pork burger recipe from our separated friends at Nyman Ranch. Now, the words Danish pork burger recipe are highlighted. You can click, and when you click, you get recipes for pork burgers. I'm not kidding. And they also have a link to the Nyman Ranch. And it really is just, it's just shocking that you have animal people who are promoting this. And that's why I sent you the email in the event that you were mystified by it. But I sent you the email to please ask Ms. Park to come on to the show, because I would like to discuss this with her. I just do not understand how these welfarist vegans think that this is helping animals. I mean, you've got an organization upon which sits, who has the board of directors has Wayne Pacell sitting on it, and the former president of Compassion Over Killing is the executive director, and they're telling people, hey, you want to have a summer barbecue? Have pork burgers. Here's the recipe.
Now, they outdo themselves. You know, just when you think they can't outdo themselves.
Just when you think it can't get, you know, and I read this, and Bob, that was just one of the things on this email. That was just one of the, there's another thing, the thing at the top, the large story, is the Naked Neck Chickens, who roam Crystal Lake Farm, are a novelty to the Arkansas agricultural landscape today. Certified at step four, Bob, that's almost step five, and the animals are volunteering to be killed, and they're actually pulling lotteries for who will be killed first because they're so eager. But step four, this is right up there. This free-range farm operated by Blake Evans thrives on a genuine enthusiasm to raise a unique bird and a sincere commitment to improving animal well-being. Blake is inspired by exploring opportunities to improve the lives of his chickens each and every day. And then they give you a click-through, and you can read all about Blake Evans and his family and how much they love the birds that they raise to be slaughtered and killed and eaten by people who don't have to eat any animal products to be optimally healthy. And those are just two of the multiple stories on this email that I got on Thursday. And you know, as you say, you know, just when you think it's not going to get any worse, and when I read this, and I then showed it to Anna Charlton, my partner and co-author on Eat Like You Care, and I said, you know, when I wrote Rain Without Thunder in 1996, so I was writing that book 20 years ago, basically. It was published in 96, but, I was writing it in 95. Actually, I started writing it in 94, and I wrote some articles that eventually became that book. But 20 years ago, in which I was saying, you know, this is really, this whole humane movement is taking the animal rights direction in the wrong direction, and that it's blurring the lines between animal advocacy and animal exploitation. And one of the chapters starts off with a bunch of quotes, and the reader is asked, who said these things, an animal advocate or an animal exploiter? And you can't really tell because, you know, and I was trying to point out, look, when you have animal advocates who are saying things that animal exploiters could say, you've got a problem. But, Bob, 20 years ago, if you had said, you know, one day you're going to be, well, of course, I didn't know about email back then, but if you said one day you're going to get some communication from the Humane Society of the United States' CEO, basically, and from somebody from an animal organization that touts itself as being an animal rights group, Compassion Over Killing, that is going to tell you on your first summer barbecue, here's some recipes for Danish pork burgers. I would have said, Bob, that's crazy. That's absolutely couldn't happen.
Well, it is crazy. It's mad.
It's crazy. But what I don't understand is, what do these people do? You know, do they really believe? Do they and truly believe that this sort of thing is going to get people to go vegan? You know, because that's what you hear from all of them all the time, is they say, well, you know, you got to take it one step at a time. People aren't going to go vegan overnight. Well, let me tell you something, friend. They're never going vegan. Never, ever, ever going vegan. If you tell them, hey, first barbecue, here we are, Humane Society, and you know, the former pres of Compassion Over Killing. You know, here's the Danish pork burger recipe, and let us tell you about the naked neck chickens of Crystal Lake Farm and Blake Evans and his family who just love those birds. I mean, what sort of message? And then you have to hear what you will hear. What people who go to that obscenity that they're having later this month, this so-called Animal Rights 2014 conference in California.
Oops, we may be cut off by the music, so you may have to continue the thought.
We'll be back.
It's
right?
The music of life. We go vegan. We live. We'll continue with Professor Franciano. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. Again, I will be posting updated information on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio and Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook regarding the World Vegan Summit and Expo. I promise registration will open this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. I overstretched my promises last week. You know, my web guy says to me, like, you know, wait a second here. You know, it takes some work. You know, got to get these zeros and ones together. So I don't understand the binary system or computer programming, but it will be ready this Saturday morning, 9 a.m., worldvegansummit.com. You can register for us. Maybe you want to save your money and not go to the other. I don't know what the other is. It doesn't seem to be animal advocacy. Professor Francione, I think you were just about to make
really
a comment.
To be very frank with you, Bob, I really think there's if people who go to this thing and support this thing and give money to this thing, I think they really need to think about that as a moral issue, because what they're doing is basically supporting a welfareist trade show where you're going to have all of these groups that are partners with industry.
Just like you mentioned, Compassion Over Killing, beaming at butcher competitions,
yeah,
you know?
By the way, did you ask Ms. Park onto the show to talk with me?
Oh, you asked me to do that, I think, yesterday or the day before, so I will do it this
Bob,
week, though.
Come on,
I will.
Let the grass grow.
I didn't know if she'd answer on Sunday morning, so.
Well, yes, I hope you will. You will, and will you extend the invitation to her?
Absolutely, of course.
Great.
Yes.
I would like to hear what these people have to say, because I just don't. I have to tell you, I find it bewildering, and I find it disturbing, and I find it beyond disturbing. The idea that animal advocates are, or people who claim that they're animal advocates, and people who claim that they want to see a vegan world, are promoting eating Danish pork burgers and telling us about, you know, these wonderful people who have a chicken farm and how, you know, this is step 4 rated happy chicken or whatever, and the chickens are just, you know, delighted to be exploited. And I really think we need to, you know,
if you look at the HSUS farmer outreach page, eat the full animal. Eat, you know, their campaign is eat more of the body of the animal. That way, you won't be wasting so many animals. That's part of this. Their mission right now is.
Well,
eat
I understand
parts
that,
you,
but really, when I mean, and all of that's terrible. It really is terrible. But it takes it even, in my judgment, a step further when you're basically saying having a summer barbecue instead of saying you don't need to be eating animals. They say having a summer barbecue, have a Danish pork burger.
Right.
I mean, it's just mind-blowing.
Well.
And so I think people need to see. Look, if you think that's what you think animal rights is about, then you know, then you're on a way different page. And I think, you know, and what'll happen is when people go to that conference in California, the one that's at the end of this month, they'll hear these people say, "Oh, we really want a vegan world. We've just got to figure out a way to get there." Well, I'm telling you right now, however we get to the vegan world, we ain't never going to get there. We're telling people having a barbecue, hey. fire up and, you know, and have some good old, you know, delicious Danish pork.
Yeah, a dead pig.
It's not going to get a vegan world. And,
right.
So I think that the idea that it's unrealistic for us to think that we can, first of all, I believe and I know, because it is my experience and the experience of the other people who are in the grassroots abolitionist vegan movement, we are getting people to go vegan, and we don't have big organizations behind us. We're individual people. We all have jobs. We all have jobs not in the animal movement, and we all do this on the side as part of our passion, and we're educating people, and people are going vegan. There is a grassroots movement out there. We've got almost 60,000 people on the Abolitionist Approach site on Facebook now. This thing's taken off. There's no doubt about it. And I really think the conference will come at the very right time. And mm-hmm. and I think it's going to be terrific because I think what we'll do is we will have a very coordinated effort to educate people about the theory, about the health issues, about the environmental issues, and hopefully if we do our job right, Bob, they're going to leave that conference after a couple of days and ready to educate themselves further and to become first-rate vegan educators, creative, nonviolent vegan educators. And so that's what our job is, and I'm looking forward to working with you to do that, because I think we will, I think we're going to do it. I think this is going to be a tremendously successful event.
Okay, well, we'll tell those 60,000 people, wow, this is like a Pink Floyd concert, a Grateful Dead or something. WorldVeganSummit.com this coming Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Get in on the action. Thank you, Professor Francione. We'll talk next week.
Bob.
Okay. Love animals. Don't eat them. Go vegan.